Coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas, and recorded live, Science News is on the air right now.
This is the promise of tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of the promise of tomorrow.
Ah, yes, once again, so good to be with you. So glad to have you back again as we study the exciting world of the business of emerging science, nanotechnology, open innovation, all of it right here on the Science News Radio Network. Remind those of you listening on radio that you can also hear us commercial-free online at promiseoftomorrow.biz. An exciting show today. We've got Jeremy Vickers checking in with us. He's the Managing Director of Innovation at the Dallas Regional Chamber of Commerce, and he heads strategy and program implementation to support the North Texas Innovation Ecosystems, or Ecosystems, depending upon how we want to pronounce it. And he's been deeply involved in the launch of the Dallas Entrepreneur Center, the Dallas Research Alliance, and Innovate DFW, which is now part of launchdfw.com. Now, all this sounds pretty complicated, and it sounds like a whole lot of different committees getting together to accomplish one thing. But what Jeremy is doing is taking entrepreneurs and getting them funded, and not only getting them funded, but helping them launch their businesses to be successful. And his goal is to, and let's see, I have a quote here from him. He believes that Dallas-Fort Worth will be known in the same title as Silicon Valley and Boston and New York and as Chicago, as a leading entrepreneurial hub for those who want to start building new companies. So if you want to start building a new company, get a hold of Jeremy Vickers. We're going to have him on here in just a minute. And then in the second half hour, we're going to hear from Rebecca Dracup and Andrew Perrin from Perth, Australia. You may remember them from last May when they came on and told about their Global Humanitarian Engineering Awards that they have developed to be given out at the Global Humanitarian Technology Conference, going to be held October 20th through the 23rd at San Jose Airport Garden Hotel in California. There has never been any humanitarian awards in engineering. And this kind of bothered the two students at Western University of Western Australia in Perth. And so they developed this in the spring and have been very successful. They're going to give us an update on what is going on with that. And, of course, we're going to visit our fountain of useless information we have here on the set. And, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. We're also going to check into the den of strangers, get more wisdom from somebody a lot of us never heard of. And, you know, on this program, we talk sometimes about the English language and all of its eccentricities. And this was sent in by a listener. According to this, a professor was explaining to the students about how in the English language, of course, a double negative always means a positive. Like, I ain't got no satisfaction would translate into I have satisfaction. But he points out that in many foreign languages, a double negative doesn't mean a positive, it still means a negative. And he said, of course, you know, in English, never does a double positive ever mean a negative. And then the voice from the back room says, yeah, right! Well, I had to pass that along to you. All right, right now, let's check in with today's guest, Jeremy Vickers, the Managing Director, Innovation, Dallas Regional Chamber of Commerce.
Stand by. Well, today we have with us an old friend, Jeremy Vickers. I've known for a number of years. I knew Jeremy back when he was working with Maria Smith at the North Texas Regional Center for Innovation and Commercialization, helping new startups get going. And then he worked with my friend John Shapiro when John started the Texas Institute for Sustainable Technology. You may remember hearing John on this program many times. So today we get Jeremy Vickers himself. He's the Managing Director of Innovation at the Dallas Regional Chamber of Commerce, and he's still working with entrepreneurs. Welcome to the program, Jeremy.
Hi, Carl. How are you today?
Oh, it's so good to have you with us. Now, you're working with implementation to support the North Texas Innovation Ecosystem, and that's a whole mouthful. And I have to ask you now, what defines the North Texas Innovation Ecosystem? Is that more than Dallas?
Yes, it is. In fact, the North Texas entrepreneurial ecosystem is really a broad array of a series of activities and entities that support the broader startup community. And within that includes all of Dallas County, Collin County, Tarrant County. We've got folks in Denton County that we work with, and even a few of the additional 10 or 11 counties around the primary four. And so we work in and around each of them where there are dozens of great cradle organizations.
And I presume you're still working with Maria over at the RCIC and helping those startups too, is that right?
That's correct. You know, the RCIC continues to support those early-stage high-tech companies through the Emerging Technology Fund. Excited to see them continue to invest in those companies and support university research as well as technology commercialization.
All right. Well, now, tell me about there's a lot of exciting things going on there, I understand. In fact, as you even told me off the air, that there's a lot of neat things happening. So why don't you just fill us in, take us in from the beginning. What's going on at this innovation center that you got going? The Dallas Entrepreneur Center, the Texas Research Alliance, Innovate DFW, and part of LaunchDFW.com. It's confusing to some of us who haven't closely studied it. It probably is clear as mud to you. So bring us up to date and let us know how everything is working.
You know, I'm glad you asked. We have a lot of great initiatives, some of which have launched, some of which have merged with other great initiatives, and some of which will be launched in the next 3 to 6 months. And so let me tackle them one by one. You know, the first, the one that I'm really excited about that we've spent, gosh, just hundreds of hours on over the last 6 months, is launching a new entity called the Dallas Entrepreneur Center. Mm-hmm. We're branding it as the DEC, and you can visit a website that we have called www.thedec.co.
Right.
And we're excited to get off the ground. It is a new nonprofit organization. It's a 501c3 that supports early-stage, high-growth startup companies here in the Dallas-Fort Worth region. It does it through a variety of mechanisms. The first is it has a full-fledged incubation program where early-stage companies who are past the idea stage, ready to get their hands dirty and take that idea into a product or service, we will spend dozens of hours with them coaching, mentoring, building an action plan, helping them raise capital, launch their products, and do all kinds of fun things, as well as put them into a series of education programs that we have to get them to that stage where significant capital or profitability are on the horizon.
Okay, now, there could be 40,000 different people listening to this rather than one saying, gee whiz, I'm a great candidate for that. I mean, how do you screen these people? I mean, how do you do it the vetting way that Maria Smith does it over at the RCIC? Or how do you pick the entrepreneurs that you're going to help get funded and launched?
You know, it's a great question. So for our incubator program, we're open, and applications can be submitted online. If someone wants to get into the program, typically a few criteria will help define a winning proposal. And the first is that they're at the right stage, and stage really matters. The team at the DEC feels that we add the most value to startups when they are at one of really two or three stages. And so the first is what we call Idea Plus. Idea Plus is, I've got an idea, I've fleshed it out a little bit, but I don't fully have my product or service ready to go to market. The second stage that we work with is what we call pre-revenue. And I've got a product or service, I believe it's ready to hit the market, but I need some help to get to that point where I'm, you know, going after customer acquisition, where I'm scaling that product up to a fully functioning, you know, productized type of solution, Or the third stage that we work with are folks who are at what we call the revenue stage. Maybe they've got some early customer traction. Maybe they've sold the first 50 or the first 100.
Okay.
But they want to get to the next 1,000 or the next 10,000 of that product or that solution, and we will help them ramp up, raise capital, and get the right mentors and team around them. So that's the first, is we look at stage. The second is we look at a core group of industries that have a lot of opportunity. It is often asked of us, are we focused on technology? And the answer is no. We have a significant presence of companies that are in the technology space within our incubation program.
Yeah.
We also have folks in healthcare. We have folks in crowdfunding. We have a couple of services and training companies. And we have some education and ed tech companies. And so the industry is really about, is there a market opportunity? You know, if someone wants to sell peanut butter sandwiches to every school kid in DISD, it's not a really good fit, and we can't add a lot of value to that solution. If someone wants to train the next generation to become excellent software developers through hands-on, you know, employer-driven software development training, well, that's a great fit. And by the way, that's a company that we have at the DEC. Their name is Dev Chance, and they're focused on helping folks get trained for being employable in the software development field. And so we're looking for areas that have high growth industry, high growth opportunities. We are not also interested in companies that are likely to be and stay small businesses. And we like to clarify that we can still help small businesses through our training programs, through our education classes. Anyone can sign up for those. But in our incubation program, we're focused on those companies that have the ability to scale to 10 or 20, maybe $30 million over the next 4 or 5 years.
Well, that's, of course, would be an economic benefit for North Texas and the Dallas area. So, but you, and that's kind of a that's kind of a litmus test. Then, I mean, you kind of look at it and say to yourself, "Gee whiz, is this company really scalable, or is this going to be a mom and pop that's going to kind of just you know, stick around for a little while?" Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's correct. And one thing that we've philosophically done our best to do is, if someone is turned down, and by the way, we have had 90 applicants in the 8 weeks that we have been open to our incubator program. We have accepted 9, so we have a fairly low rate. We want to have a high bar. We want to get the best of the best in. But the other 81 companies that have applied that we have said, you know, right now you're not a good fit, we have directed them to other resources. And it's very important for us to be known as a resource center, a place where if we can't help you, we will get you to someone who can, or at least make sure that we give it our best shot. And so each and every company that we unfortunately have to say no to, we will put in touch with either a company that can help them, an organization that can help them, a potential partner, a potential customer, maybe even a funding source, one of the active angel networks or an investment group, if they're not a right fit for our partners. And that's a philosophy that we want to continue to keep a part of our core efforts at the DEC.
Well, then, where do you get your candidates? I mean, the colleges and institutions of higher learning saying, gee whiz, this is something that should go commercial. We've been doing some research on it. And they come to you because they know about you, or how do you do this?
Yeah, you know, we've been blessed right now with not having to market a whole lot. When we launched officially on June the 12th of this summer, we essentially launched with one really, really great article by a young writer for the Dallas Morning News, Hannah Cho, and then subsequently a few local social media pushes. But we have not done traditional marketing to PR in terms of recruiting companies. These companies have all come by our own relationships or word of mouth or from our partner organizations. And we are very partner-driven. We work with the RCICs, the Tech Wildcatters of the world, the Frisco incubation facility called MTech or Fort Worth, Tech Fort Worth incubation facility, any and all of those folks we are very partner-driven on, and they've been great assets for saying, we can't help a company, let me push them to the deck, and likewise, we do the same thing.
So you're not finding, then, a lot of territorial turf wars with these other organizations that are attempting to move things along economically. There's a mass cooperation from all these entities, is that what you're saying?
It is, absolutely, and I know it's hard to believe because of the history that we all have here in this region, but we have a very partner-driven mindset, and so do these other organizations. That's something that we've discovered, that everyone wants to win. We all know, and we all believe in the philosophy that a rising tide raises all boats, and with that, we've seen something come to the top, so to speak. We are the Dallas Entrepreneur Center, and we will represent the successes and the stories of all of the great entities and organizations in North Texas. That's the philosophy we also are holding true. Additionally, we've realized that early-stage companies, for the most part, would like to receive incubation and resources local to them. And so one thing we've seen is if a company is in Frisco and they want to engage with InTech, we will actually encourage them to get involved with InTech in Frisco to first ensure that InTech is maybe not a better fit, because we understand geography in this region is something that we have to be aware of, and that folks should try to get resources as close to themselves as they can.
Right.
And likewise, we've done that with folks at Tech Fort Worth and the new incubator in McKinney that just opened up called the Collide Center.
Wow. It's fascinating how you've sewn all this together, and now you've got the candidates for the money, but then you must have a network then of angels and other investment type people that you can go to also. Is there new investment money coming around pretty regularly, or are you going back to kind of the same people over and over?
The one thing we've seen in the last 2-3 years is the emergence of a handful of active angel networks. Likewise, a couple of the early stage investment funds, some of which are family offices and some of which are more traditional venture capital type funds that are local, are becoming more engaged in investing more heavily. And so the last, call it, 3 years, we've seen that activity increase perhaps even 100%. And so, for instance, we have a great relationship with the 4 or 5 active angel networks. And as an opportunity arises for one of our member companies to raise capital, and we believe that they are a good fit for one of those angel networks, the right age, the right size structure, the right potential capitalization, we will make an appropriate introduction based on the history that we know and the relationships that we have with each of these angel networks. And each of them is different. They all have different investment philosophies. They all have different structures. And so one of them might not look at a company that is it's a services company, whereas another might not look at a technology play or vice versa. And so we're due to history and having great relationships with these folks, we have a good feel for who's a good fit and who's not. Likewise, one of the local venture capital firms, Trailblazer Capital, has been very active in getting the deck off the ground. Joel Fontenot is one of the managing partners there, and okay. He is a board member and has really been instrumental in bringing partners and sponsors to the table for the deck. And without the support from the capital community, we wouldn't be able to both get off the ground and get the right sponsorship support, but likewise, we wouldn't be able to showcase that the real capital in town, those who are investing, are interested in looking for local deals. Additionally, Joel and his team at Trailblazer Capital have been instrumental in bringing a seed accelerator to Dallas-Fort Worth and to be partnered with the deck, and that is called VentureSpur. VentureSpur is in its second class. It's built on a model very similar to Tech Wildcatters and Tech Stars that are in Boulder, and they invest $25,000 in 4 to 6 companies over the course of a 3 to 4 month hands-on session, and those companies are housed at the deck currently and are actually a separate group from our incubation group, but are there and a part of the culture and the community that we're trying to build.
Well, now I got to ask you. I mean, a lot of people come with really, great ideas, and they're engineers, but they know nothing about doing a business plan. I presume that you have to have a business plan to take it to some of these investors, and then what do you do? Do you write the business plan for these potential entrepreneurs, or do you how do you put it together where you can make a presentation that can show the kind of yield that you're going to need over a period of time?
Right. It's interesting that you say that. Historically, I think the business plan has been the status quo for fundraising alongside perhaps a fairly robust presentation. Our philosophy is everyone should have a business plan, but you probably don't need to bring it out. What we focus on are helping people build companies that are driven by customers and revenue and profitability through introductions to potential customers, to partners, to mentors, people who've done it before. We have a series of education classes that help folks walk through the development of the core components of a business plan. And you can think about what those are, everything from will it work to the summary of my marketing plan to, team building HR side, to my operational plan or to my financials, et cetera, which are core fundamentals for both understanding how your business will grow as well as raising capital. But we don't ask and we don't necessarily spend time focusing on helping them build business plans. What we help them on are the pitches and the presentations. When I worked at the RCIC, we spent a tremendous amount of time helping companies with their elevator pitches, their 10-minute pitches, and their 20-minute pitches. And so having personally worked with roughly 400 or 500 startups at the RCID with fundraising, I know enough to be dangerous. And we use that coupled with the other co-founders' capabilities with project management and doing startups to provide the core information and the core hands-on that they need, and supplementing it with mentors who've done it before, either by industry or by skill set, whether it's finance or accounting. And we use those folks to help these companies deal with issues as they arise and to be ahead of the curve on core areas. And I'll give an example. We recently had a product company, and she has a phenomenal consumer product. It's a wallet. Mm-hmm. It's called Wojo Wallet. It's a sports wallet, neoprene silicone. It actually floats. It's a wonderful, wonderful product. And she needed some help looking at how she sells. She's selling, indirect right now through channels, trying to get into some stores, and she'd like to have an online presence through a direct marketing campaign. We introduced her to a mentor, a gentleman who has phenomenal online marketing. He has started 5 companies in the online product marketing space, immense success. They got together, they spent an hour. He saved her, by her quote, 20 to 30 hours of time. And so rather than having him spend 1 hour with 20 companies, we're going to have him start teaching an online marketing course for us, which we will launch in mid-September.
Ooh.
And it will hopefully replicate that 1 to 2 hours that he spent for one company over 20 or 30 companies each quarter that he offers that class.
Wow, that's really impressive. And I have to ask you another question. Notoriously, private capital has been reluctant to do much investing in companies that they can't get a pretty quick turnaround, 2-3 years, 4 years, maybe 5. But companies that need like 8 years or 10 years or something like that to show a good turnaround don't get funded privately. They always have to go to the government to have that happen. Is that changing?
I can't honestly say whether or not it is. I think for the hardware space, we're going to continue, and I must say pharmaceutical space, we're going to continue to see those 7 to 10-year timelines. And it goes back to a philosophy that we have. We are working with companies that we can have an impact on over the course of 6 to 12 months. And so if a company is in the early research, maybe big development stage of a hardware play or a life science play, we will not likely enter that company into our program. We will make introductions for them to others who can help them more. And it goes back to the philosophy that if we can't truly help you over a realistic time frame, we're not going to waste your time. And I won't say that that model has changed, to be honest. I think that from what you just said, it's still true that our local investment community is hesitant with those types of companies, with one or two exceptions. We have a phenomenal venture fund here called Remeditex, driven by, I believe, Lida Hunt Hill's family office and the former UT Southwestern Technology Commercialization Group, formerly driven by Dennis Stone, who now runs Remeditex. And they will look at those types of pharma, med device, very early stage companies. And so, for instance, we've had companies come in and we will make introductions to that group, knowing full well they can have a much better impact and can help drive those companies to the milestones they need in order to raise capital when we know we cannot do that. And we will focus on companies that over a 6, maybe 12-month timeline, we can see them enter the market, generate revenue, and scale with maybe a couple of $100,000 or maybe $1 million of investment capital rather than the 5 or 10 million it might take.
Wow, and all this ambition and all the things that you're doing is really quite a head turner. And I have to ask you, I'm surely this program, you and others that are operating this, aren't funded by just the donations, but the membership of the Dallas Chamber. How are you funded? Is there capital flows back to your organization too? All right, we'll hold off before you answer the question. I know you probably have a nice long answer for us, and we're running out of time. So we got a break at the half hour, and then we'll be right back and learn how you're funding all these wonderful new startups and the entrepreneurs through the Dallas Regional Chamber of Commerce and the Dallas Entrepreneur Center. Okay, as we walk to the break at the half hour. We're going to pause at the door of the Den of Strangers, where we keep locked away all of the wisdom of mankind. Who in the Den of Strangers will we meet today?
Alan. Alan Kay. The best way to predict the future is to invent it.